The reading is written in Ephesians chapter 5, starting at verse 15, and can be found on page 1176 of the Church Bible. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you very much, Jim. Let's pray, shall we, together? Heavenly Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for that they're your words for us today. Please, by your Holy Spirit, help us to hear what you have to say to each one of us today, and that you would give us the courage, the obedience to respond by your and in your will. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that little bit of the Bible that Jim just read is a snippet from a letter which the Apostle Paul wrote to some Christians, early Christians in the first century. And there's six chapters. In the first three chapters, Paul sort of sets out how Jesus' death and resurrection was and is God's plan to rescue us, from the penalty of eternal separation from God that we deserve if we, because of our sinful hearts. And chapters 1 to 3 tell us that Jesus' death and resurrection mean that we can have an eternal relationship with God, and all the amazing blessings that involves for those who believe in Jesus. And you may remember we preached through those three chapters in last October, November last year. If you didn't hear them or you've forgotten about them, I really recommend, they're still on the website audio or on YouTube, to listen to those, because they tell us just how amazing and how wonderful Jesus is. And we need to be reminded of that every day. And the second half of the letter, chapters 4 to 6, is about how our lives are changed by those wonderful truths. In those first three chapters, how we as individuals in a church, how we look as we live thankful, hopeful lives for Jesus in response to what he's done for us. And the Bible tells us that when we become a Christian, we are made holy. We're made holy because God's Holy Spirit indwells us, comes into us from the moment that we give our lives to Jesus. And that holiness, that presence of God in us, is permanent. It's sealed. In the first chapter of the letter that Paul wrote, he tells us that we are sealed by the Holy Spirit, a promise of what we will have, that eternal relationship with God. But Paul also encourages us all, if we know Jesus, to grow in holiness, to be shaped by Jesus, not to be shaped by things and people around us or by culture, but to be shaped by Jesus. And an example of how we are meant to live. Who was here last week? Put your hands up if you were here last week. Well, there's a few of you. Let's test you then. One of the things that we learned last week as Christians of how we're supposed to live was that verse, Ephesians 4, verse 32, which we all learned together, which is, be kind and considerate to one another. You're not doing very well so far. Be kind and considerate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. It's a great verse. If you weren't here last week, don't expect you to know it. But go and read Ephesians 4, verse 32. It's a great verse. We're called, as Christians, to do those sort of things and many others, to reflect that knowing Jesus is the most important thing in our lives. But of course, Paul knew, and as you and I know, trying to be more like Jesus is easier said than done, because as Paul says in verse 16 of our reading, we're in evil days. We're tainted by this sin and evil that's in the world and in our sinful hearts. But Paul also knows that because we have God's Spirit in us, that means that we have God's wisdom to draw on. And that's what our verses 15 to 20 are about today, to help us use that God-given wisdom wisely, if you can use wisdom wisely, So to grow in holiness and then stand out for Jesus. And we're going to look at the passage in five, under five broad headings. Be careful, use time well, be filled with the Holy Spirit, heartfelt worship and thanksgiving. So firstly, be careful. This is verse 15 and it says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. Be wise, be careful, be very careful, says Paul. And the Greek word that we have in that first sentence, which we in our Bible, Church Bible, says how you live for Jesus. If you've got like the ESV Bible, for instance, other translations talk about how you walk with Jesus. I'm a very practical person, so walk is more helpful to me. Maybe it is to you. And you know, when we walk, you know, you try to be careful, don't you? You know, you sort of, you look at what's in front of you. You follow the Green Cross Code. Is that still a thing, the Green Cross Code? I don't know, whatever the equivalent of Green Cross Code is at the moment. You know, and you hopefully you get somewhere without an accident. If it's a long way, if you don't know where you're going, if you know the terrain's going to be difficult, what do? You plan it, you get a map or whatever sort of thing. If we aren't wise, if we're not careful as we walk along, we're going to do things like, you know, playing Wordle on our mobile phone as we walk down the church, we fall down the step and hurt ourselves or hurt somebody else, for instance, something like that. Or if you don't plan, you walk aimlessly and you end up lost. Well, it's the same in our walk with Jesus. If our desire is to be more like Jesus, we need to be very careful in our lives as how we walk for him. You know, when it comes to the big thing, the broad things in life, you know, like education or our job or maybe a relationship or a holiday, we spend time, don't we? We spend time researching it and planning it and, you know, thinking, trying to get it right. So our care should be all the more for the most important purpose in our life, which is walking with Jesus and knowing Jesus if we are a Christian. And then drilling down a bit more, we should be wise and careful where we go, who we go with, what we look at, what we watch and listen and read and so on. Thinking, you know, as a Christian, will this help my walk with Jesus? Will it glorify his name or might it cause me to stumble? I wonder, you know, do you think more of yourself sometimes? Do you overestimate your ability to stand firm for Jesus in hard, difficult circumstances? Or should you sort of, do you have red lines in your life? Or should you maybe move your red line back a bit? Let me give you an example. When I was working, you know, used to have to go stay overnight quite a lot on hotels and so on. And I set a red line for myself, never to turn the television on in a hotel room. Now, I thought to myself, you know, I'm fine, I could turn the telly on and watch the news. But I didn't want to be tempted to start flicking channels and end up watching something inappropriate. So for me, the red line was no television. It could be anything for you guys. Where are your red lines in order to honour Jesus in your life? Be very careful in our walk with Jesus because it helps us to grow in our holiness. Secondly, Paul says, use time well. Verse 16, he says, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. We're in this sinful world. And this really goes hand in hand with the first one we're just talking about. You know, in all aspects of our life, we should be thinking, am I making the most of this opportunity? I mean, is this the best use of my time for God, for making Jesus known? You know, as we were looking at a little bit earlier, the Bible is very clear. God gives us masses of good stuff and he wants us to enjoy them. Whether that's going places, doing things, he wants us to enjoy them. But we do need to be careful. We need to be wise to check with ourselves. Is this God-given gift, this God-given thing, is it taking over? Is it becoming a new God? Is it becoming my idol? Is it becoming more important than God? Or maybe, you know, is it about this thing I'm doing? Is it now all about my pleasure rather than God's glory? Is what I'm doing a good witness to my faith and trust in Jesus? Is it causing me to miss my quiet time, my personal devotion with God? Does it mean I might not be at church on Sunday because I'm doing something I decide is more important? Does it mean that other work in St. Patrick's is being held back because there's something you could be doing to contribute? We need to pray to use our time well, to use the opportunities that we're given to show Jesus means everything to you and me. Use time well because that helps us grow in holiness as well. Verse 17 says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. And that just pulls together those two things that we were talking about. Be careful and use time well. Seeking God's will. Seeking God's will for all those different things. The Bible gives us God's will, the general will of God, how to live for him. But it won't tell us everything. And sometimes on specific things in our life, we turn to prayer to God, or we turn to trusted Christians and work together to see what God's will is. In September, we're going to have a short series in the morning, sermon series, where we'll be thinking a little bit more about Bible reading and prayer and working together and serving and giving, all those things which to be reminding ourselves of the basic expectations that God has for us as his people, as his children. So thirdly, be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is verse 18. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know whether there was a propensity for heavy drinking and orgies and debauchery in the church in Ephesus, or whether Paul was just warning the church not to get involved in what was going on in culture around them. And that's a good warning for us, you know, to be careful of culture around us. But the warning about the impact of heavy drinking or any similar influence for us today is obvious, isn't it? Because it's going to mean that we're going to lose control. We're not going to be in control of our words, of our actions, of our thoughts, for instance. Things could get messy. We do something that doesn't honour Jesus as we seek to walk with him. Now, this isn't about, you know, going down the pub and having a couple of beers with your mates or a bottle of wine over a meal or something. You know, Paul does not forbid drinking alcohol. But, you know, it is about not losing control. So, like I said, with me, with the hotels and staying overnight business trips, if you have an issue with alcohol, your red line may be zero alcohol. And that's absolutely fine, because you think, oh, that's what I need to do to honour God. It may be that, you know, if it's a more serious problem, that you need to be accountable, not just for drinking, but all sorts, accountable to other Christians you can trust, Christian counselling, mainly professional assistance and so on. But Paul says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. But we should be really clear that what Paul is not saying, he's not comparing the influence of alcohol and the influence of the Holy Spirit. What he wants us to see is the incredible contrast between short-term influence of alcohol and how that can lead us to make daft decisions with serious consequences, and the permanent and the continuous indwelling of God himself by his Spirit, which enable us, as Paul writes in another letter in Galatians, to demonstrate what he calls the fruit of the Holy Spirit, of being like Jesus, and in particular, self-control in our lives. You know, we don't lose control when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We demonstrate the fruit of self-control, enabling other characteristics of God's goodness to come out in their fullness, like kindness, gentleness, love, and so on. So Paul says, I say, encourage you today, seek the ongoing privilege of being filled with the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus every day and less impacted by the sinful ways that remain part of us until Jesus returns. Ongoing filling of the Holy Spirit grows our holiness. And then Paul comes on to worship. He goes on to emphasise in verse 19 that we should be filled with the Holy Spirit in our worship. And that's in particular in our singing, in our public services. Now, if we're Christians, we're made to worship. That's what God wants us to do. That's our number one purpose. Whether that's in public services like this, in our private worship, but also in everything we do. Paul says that in other parts of his writing as well. And as Christians, you know, we have God in us, as I said. So you'd think that we'd always be able to say and think the right stuff, you know, that it would always reflect the joy and thankfulness of having Jesus in my life. But, you know, we're tainted, as I said earlier, by evil days, as Paul writes in verse 16. And so coming together in worship each week is essential to growing our holiness. What Paul's pointing to us here is that, you know, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep on filling us as we come on Sundays. Why? Because it is the key time of the week when God will shape us to be more like Jesus. Through his word, through the Bible, through our prayers, through our singing. And as we meet deeply with God in worship, our vision of Jesus will hopefully grow. We see Jesus more like he is, and it sets us up individually to trust him more deeply, to want to serve him as we go into the next week before we come together again and receive him again. And Paul hones right in on sung worship, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and songs, as he calls it, which essentially means for us, as I said here at St. Patrick, is that we should be encouraging each other to wholehearted sung worship. And actually, I said encourage, didn't I? But if you read these little verses, everything Paul says is a command, including encourage each other to sung worship. It's not optional. It's not optional to be filled by the Holy Spirit as Christians. Paul says, he commands us, ask the Holy Spirit to fill us. Ask the Holy Spirit to help us as we worship. Why? Well, because the bottom line is that God is God, and only he is worthy of your worship and my worship. And that means not self-restrained worship, not half-hearted worship, but wholehearted worship. Worship from your heart, worship from my heart. And we need the Holy Spirit to help us do that. You know, I think at St. Pat's we're really fortunate. We've got three different services with different styles of sung worship. Andrew's up on the sound desk today, but normally down here. He does a great job in bringing to us new songs, as the Bible tells us to, in Psalm 98, I think it is, sing a new song, you know, bring new songs to us. He does a great job with that. And we as leaders are careful in choosing songs and hymns that are consistent with what the Bible says. So if ever you're singing a song and you don't understand it or you're not sure, do come and talk to one of the leaders or Andrew or the music leader and talk to them about, I'm just not quite sure what I'm singing. Because that will help you then understand it more deeply and worship more wholeheartedly. But you know, whatever the service, whatever the song we're singing, we're called to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to worship wholeheartedly and to encourage each of us in the congregation to do the same. Why? Because our hope is that together we will give God the praise that he deserves. Now, if you're like me, sometimes you'll think, I don't like this song, I don't like this hymn. But what do we do then? Well, we can still encourage each other by getting beyond what we like and focusing on what it is we're here to do, to take those words of worship God and to encourage each other. We sing for God, we sing for each other. Verse 19 goes on and says, and sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. And here Paul is encouraging us, he's commanding us to freedom in worship, to use our God-given emotions in worship. God has given us a beautiful gift of music, and we are so blessed here with having great people to play and sing and lead us in that sung worship. But together with that gift of music and the gift of the emotions that he gives us, that enables us to worship God wholeheartedly in ways that you can't do with just words. How do you approach sung worship? When you stand or sit to sing, can I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to help you sing the song? And ask him to help you to sing the song from the deepest parts of your being. There's a song we sing, isn't there? Bless the Lord, O my soul. I love it because you can close your eyes and you can like, Holy Spirit, please help me bring this song from the deepest part of my soul so I'm praising God. Maybe you're reluctant to do that for fear of what others might say or think. Maybe you think you're going to be judged in the way that you lift your hand or close your eyes or whatever. But you know, I've said it many times, we're here to encourage each other. We're not here to criticise each other or judge each other when we worship. We come to worship God and encourage each other to worship God. Because if we judge and criticise, do you know what we're doing? We're holding back worship of God. I was thinking how my sung worship has sung over the years I've been at St. Patrick's, and how I've learned that no one way is right or wrong, provided it is heartfelt, provided it is Godward, and provided it is biblical. And I found, I'm sure many of you hear the same, how different songs impact me as I worship. And I love it. You know, sometimes I find myself standing in awe of God, of God Almighty, and thinking to myself, how can the creator of the universe want me to be in a relationship with me? I just stand in awe of that. Sometimes I'm brought to tears as I worship in song. Songs like O Perfect Love, O Perfect Sacrifice, or When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. The beauty of those words, you know, they make me cry as I've become deeper in worship. Other times, I will find myself jubilantly lifting my hands in praise of the wonder and the greatness of Jesus and who he is and what he's done for you and for me. Because of his defeating death, because of his resurrection, enabling us to come and worship together. I've learned that quiet is okay. I've learned that noise is okay. I've learned that emotional worship is okay, as long as my worship is spirit-filled, showing that I have a joy in my heart because of Jesus. I come away encouraged. Hopefully I've helped to encourage other people as we go into the week, into the world ahead. Spirit-filled worship grows our holiness individually and as a body, as a church. And then lastly, thanksgiving. We touched on this already, verse 20. We looked at it in the activity earlier. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in a first read, that you think, am I really being told by the Bible to thank God for everything? Well, clearly, God does not want us to be thanking him for evil stuff, for sinful stuff, for bad stuff. That's not what Paul says here. The context of the words, if you read on it, says, giving thanks for God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's pointing us to a little bit earlier in the passage about God's will, as we talked. God wants us to thank him for things that are within his will, for things that we know that Jesus is pleased about, that he wants to give us. What we'll be looking for to be thankful when circumstances are bad, and not the bad things themselves, of course, but for God's faithfulness to us in those things, the fact that he will never leave us during those bad times and the good times, that we might thank him for the strength to keep going. We might thank him because he's given us a family who can gather around us to help us, just as Helen was actually praying today. But more generally, Paul is emphasising that holiness, being distinctive like Jesus. Another word is godliness. I should have said that earlier. Holiness, godliness, being like Jesus. They all mean the same thing. The general point Paul's making is that as a Christian, the expectation of God is that you have a life of gratitude for all that we have in and through King Jesus, who has saved us, who offers us his salvation. A grumbling spirit is not compatible with the Holy Spirit. We are commanded to be thankful. When you add up all these different things that we've been talking about, all these wise things that Paul gives us to live, to be distinctive for Jesus, of being careful, of using time well, of being filled with the Holy Spirit, of worshipping and encouraging each other in worship and thanksgiving. And you know, in God's power, in God's will, by God's Spirit, we will grow in holiness and we will reflect the light and the truth of Jesus, making him known and glorifying his name. But we won't always get it right, because we still live in those times of evil days when we mess up. I know I do every day, I'm sure you do. But coming back to what I said at the beginning, we are assured that our holiness is sealed in us permanently. We're secure in Jesus if we are Christians. So when we mess up, we can repent. We can come confidently to him. We can ask and we can receive his wonderful forgiveness. And we can get up and we continue our walk with Jesus. On the worksheets for the frog groups today, there's two questions. One is one write down one thing to remember from the sermon, and write down one thing you're thankful for. So as we sit here, I just want us all to think from the sermon today, from God's word today, one thing you're going to remember and one thing you're going to be thankful for, and talk about that to someone after. I might come up and ask some of you actually after, when we're drinking tea, I might say, you know, what you're thankful for. But I want us to take it one step further than just remembering one of those things. You know, I've mentioned five different things there. And if you're like me, you know, you have ups and downs. Sometimes you feel better, you're doing better at one and not so good at the other. Be honest with God and say to God, please, by your Holy Spirit, please help me to be less grumpy, more thankful. Please help me to want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Please help me to be careful in my lifestyle so that I don't do things that dishonour God. And so on. I'm going to pray now as we finish. And, you know, I just thought we're going to be singing our last two songs in a second. So I'm also going to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to fill us as we sing those songs. Now, maybe you and I will worship God in a way in those two songs that we haven't done before because of something you've heard in God's word today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these wonderful words from your, from the Bible, your words. And Lord, you know, there's a lot of things that I've talked about today that some are really encouraging, some are really hard. And I know, Lord, there'll be people in this congregation who will be not wanting to think about the things that you've asked me to say today. But Holy Spirit, I pray that you will break through. Holy Spirit, I pray that you will break through people's self-built walls in our hearts, including mine, of course. Lord, I pray that you would break those walls down for us, that you would help us individually and as a body, your body, Jesus, to come to you and to worship you with all that we are. Because, Jesus, what you've done for us, we can't really put into words. It is the greatest, it's the most wonderful thing, and we are so, so joyful, so thankful. Please help us by your Holy Spirit to show that in our lives. We pray this in the wonderful, powerful name of Jesus. Amen.